That today, as we go about our services, is you have that thought in your mind, what are you thankful for? What has God given you in your life to cause you to be thankful? The Apostle Paul is one who lived out a life of thanksgiving. In Philippians 4, 12 and 13, Lou Ann's favorite passage of Scripture, we can read this. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul had learned the secret of living a contented life or contentment. He learned that that was with Christ. And he'd really gone through some tough times. I don't know if you have read about Paul. I encourage you to read about him in the book of Acts. He'd gone through some tough time. He traveled all over his part of the world, bringing with him nothing but faith in God. He didn't travel with an entourage. He didn't travel with a huge suitcase. He traveled with just himself and trusted God in his providence to take care of him. He had been beaten. He had been stoned. He'd been imprisoned. He'd been shipwrecked, persecuted, and through it all, still gave thanks to God. It's tough. How many of you discovered it's tough to be thankful when you're going through a tough, tough time? Man, you get distracted by that tough time, and it's really hard to be able to vocalize or feel in your heart the goodness that God has provided for you. There's a saying that I've used a lot of times. I hope you have it memorized because this is a good use. It's hard to remember your objective is to drain the swamp when you're up to your butt in alligators. I mean, when things are going tough, it's hard to keep focus on who the one is that gives you strength. I met with a lady here a while back, a good friend of mine that had come and told me about some really tough times that she was going through. And I didn't even know it. I'd kind of lost track of her over the years. And she come and told me that she said, man, I'm just really having a tough time. I'm discouraged. And told me she had had some health issues that caused her to have to learn to walk again. Could you imagine that? That if something had happened to you and you couldn't walk again, use your hands together one after another to be able to see properly, to have to start that over again. And she began to tell me about how discouraging that had been. And it had been years that she was working with that. And she told me, she said, Max, I even bought one of them little exercise machines. And it was like what do you call them, the pedals with the wheels, an exercise bicycle. Only she said, I couldn't sit in the seat because my balance is no good. So I bought one with just the pedals where I could sit in a chair and use the pedals. And then she told me the story. When it came in, I took it out of the box. And I was so excited. I set it on the floor, and I sat in my chair, and I began to try to put my feet on it. She's like, I couldn't even put my feet on the pedals. It was just so hard to do that. And she said, I put one foot on it and start to move it, and the foot would fall off. I put my foot on and start to move it, and the foot would fall off. She was telling me this story, and she said, finally, I got both feet on, and I began to pedal, and things were really working out good, and pretty soon I got my foot tangled up in the pedal, and the stationary bicycle threw me out of my chair right in front of it. And she was so distraught, and at that time, I just lost it. I said, you ran over yourself with a stationary bicycle. I don't know who runs over themselves with a stationary bicycle. And she kind of paused for a minute and looked at me. We both burst out laughing. And I'm not kidding you. This time with this precious lady, we laughed at some of the craziest thing. I told her when she left, this is the most fun counseling session I've ever had. And then after I said that, I thought, oh my gosh, you came in here depressed and needed some help, somebody to help you out of depression, and I've just laughed at you the whole time you're here. But you know what we discovered? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that, boy, if you can live in Christ above your situation, not live in your situation, the things are so, so much better. And I took a great deal of inspiration from someone who was having just a horrible time. And she was able to work through that and for years has done some things that I don't know that I would have the fortitude to do. And gosh, I hope that you can do that. I hope that you can take inspiration from seeing other people. Paul's story about I'd been shipwrecked, he'd been beaten with the rods. I think the scripture said three times, beaten with the rods. You know, the rods, when they beat you with the rods, breaks ribs. That just concussions. Just a horrible thing. He'd been stoned. You don't be stoned and live. And still yet, Paul continued to share the gospel message. And he didn't do that because he did something horrible and deserved it. He did it because he was sharing the love of Christ. And out of these stories of people that are going through tough times and you see that their faith sustains them, wow, that we could copy that. Paul discovered the secret of living with contentment was in Christ. I can do all things through Christ my Lord, even laugh at my situation because I have a God that operates above my situations. And I can live in Him, not in my situation. Paul told the church at Philippi that the secret to living was living a godly life no matter what he was going through. In Philippians 4:4-5, he continued on. He said this, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." Take on that idea of living a life of rejoicing. A life of joy is a life of strength. I talked to you about this last week, I believe, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. After Nehemiah had finished building the walls of Jerusalem, they set up a pulpit at the water gate, and Ezra read aloud from the scriptures from morning till midday. Could you imagine that? Somebody coming to your town, opening the scriptures up, standing in a place of prominence in your town, and read scriptures from morning until midday. I don't know about you, but wow, that's a lot, isn't it? They hadn't heard the scriptures read aloud in hundreds of years. And they were starved for the Word of God, that they had missed that much time without them. Most of them had never in their lives heard the Word of God, and overwhelmed them. And they began to mourn and to weep. So Nehemiah said, "Wait a minute, you're not to weep. This is a great day. You're to share in the blessings, the physical blessings that God has given you, and God wants you to enjoy them. God has given to us richly all things to enjoy, and to enjoy means to rejoice. That's your strength, that's your power, to rejoice in those things. You can't be a Christian with power without joy, because that's where your strength comes from. Why do we give that to the world? Why have we surrendered that over to the world? And Christians avoid it. I see more Christians avoid a party than anything in the world. I'm not talking about avoiding. You need to avoid the temptations of maybe a former life or the way that you've lived, that those temptations that maybe draw you into sin. But man, we ought to be the people of the party. And instead, we've just withdrawn ourselves from those kind of things. And I think that what we do sometimes, we lose our joy. We act like we've been baptized in vinegar and our cat just got ran over. I mean, wonder why we do that and live a life that's not filled with joy. I think we need to work on that. So turn to the next person beside you or the person beside you and say to them, let's smile more. Maybe we just start there. Just start smiling a little more. Have you ever been around a place where you've seen somebody smiling? They're just smiling all by themselves. You ever seen that? Walk through a mall or something. There goes a guy walking through the mall smiling. All at once, you're suspect of him. And what's that dude smiling about? I wonder what he's smiling about. I got to tell you this story. It doesn't have nothing to do with nothing, but it's... I was sitting in the mall. We lived in Hicksville. We used to go to Fort Wayne to the mall all the time. And Luann and Tracy would shop them. They'd shop all day in the mall. And after a while, I've told her that if you hold my hand, I'll go anywhere with you. including them all. I go all day if you just hold my hand. My love language is touch. That works out good for me. So I go to them all. But after a while, I just give in. You know, they had park benches there. You could sit in the mall and just watch people walk by. There's some of the strangest people you ever seen in your life in the mall. And I was sitting there one day, and this kid walked through. And it's a big, tall kid. Walked through there, and he was dressed kind of funny, but his dress didn't have nothing to do with it. This dude had green hair, and he had shaved all of his head except for a mohawk. Went from down here all the way up to the top, and it was that tall. Stood up and spiked. That looked just like your fingers sticking out like that. And it was as green as good, just chartreuse green. And I was mesmerized by that dude. He had it all waxed up, you know, in spikes. He could have tipped his head down and stabbed you with his hair. And he's walking through the mall, and I was stuck on. He got right in front of me, stopped and turned at me, and he said, "What are you staring at?" And I said, "You got to be kidding me. You are seriously, you can't be serious. What are you staring at? You can't tell me when you did that to your head today that you didn't want people to stare at you. I'm just doing what you're looking for." I wanted to clap for him. Said that, I'm telling brother, you, whatever you were looking for, you got it. That is something else. Wonder what leaves us when we become Christians, that we somehow lose our joy. Wonder what leaves us. I mean, that guy, he's as happy as he could be. It would walk around with his hair like that. And there was nothing wrong. He wasn't hurting nobody. It's just a bit odd. It's a bit different. And so I had some trouble with my shoulder, I think it started out. And I started going to a chiropractor. Lou Ann recommended me. And I went out there and I met this guy that he'd done some x-rays. And then he set me down, and he spent 10 minutes trying to sell me on chiropractors. And I wanted to say to him, "I'm here. I'm already here. You don't, that would have been something you could have stopped me on the street, and it would have been, but I'm already here." And he spent a long time with that, and I thought, what is the up with this guy? And then I've been going more because they set you up. But anyway, I meet him, and that guy is, I haven't, his name escapes me, it doesn't matter. I think of him as Happy Harry. And this is a young guy, and when I just like, I'm going to start calling him Happy Harry, because he is happy all the time. Isn't he, Luann? He just walks in the room, he's smiling all the time. And he always has something good to say to you. And I'm telling you, he has sold me on hydro massage. He sell oil. He sell T-shirt. I'm so sold from this guy because he's happy that I walk in, he will walk around the corner, and my back will crack. Just because it's so attractive. I mean, man, and it's so rare today. Why have we given that up? Why have we surrendered that over to the Lord? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul's learned that contentment comes from God. It doesn't come from stuff. And I think that most of us have discovered that, haven't we? That it doesn't come from stuff. How many of you bought a new car and just thrilled to death with it till you get the second payment? And then it's just like, oh, geez, this is not what I thought I was looking for. What are you thankful for? Paul discovered the secret of living is contentment of Christ and the joy of living. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So stop and think of this for a moment. What do you look and act like? Is the joy of the Lord your strength, and does it result in the power? Or is your joy so consumed that you have no power, that you let the devil steal it away from you? Paul wrote this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." What's your remedy for worry? Paul says it should be prayer. You say, don't worry, pray. Or do you nurse it, rehearse it, and disperse it? And a lot of people do that. We practice worry so much that we've got it down pat and it just becomes a part of our lives. I can't tell you how many times I'll tell Luann that, man, Luann, I'm just worried about this. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And every time she says the same thing. Did you pray about it? Every once in a while, I'll start to her to say something to her about being worried, and I'll stop because I think, well, I already know what she's going to say. Did you pray about it? But that's the answer. I know that's not what the way you say it ever. I know it's not. That's just the way I hear it. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying because it's like a weight that comes on you, you know, like she will say, very loving, did you pray? I'm not allowed to use one of these, that I can't, because I go like this the whole time that I'm using it. But I have no idea where I'm at. Luann very gently says, did you pray about, changing my story. It's too late, ain't it, Bill? It's too late. And what I hear in my mind is, dude, you're a pastor. You should know that the answer to worry is prayer. And it is. I mean, how do we take care of these things that happen in our lives? Paul said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He told the Philippians to pray and then thank God for what he's already done. I mean, that's a confidence builder, isn't it? Thank him for what he's on. And you can endure almost anything if you have peace. And if you don't have peace, almost anything will consume you. And it will overtake you. So let me ask you this. What are you thankful for? If you practice Thanksgiving, boy, it will change your attitude and the way you live your life. Practice that. Work at it. I can promise you one of the things that we have to be thankful for is the night that Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body that's broken for you. And then in the same way, he took the cup. And he told them, this is my blood, a new covenant that I make with you. And each time that we take of the cup and that we take of the bread, we can be reminded that Christ died just for us because we were so special. In a minute, we're going to ask you to come. If you come by the middle aisles and then return to your seat by the outside aisles, that would be good. And those that are serving will say to you as you break off a piece of the bread, the body of Christ broken for you. And then as you dip it into the cup, they'll say to you, the blood of Christ shed for you. So won't you come and celebrate this time of Thanksgiving with us? Luann, would you come? And Dave and Kathy?